presumptuous for me to assume that I could understand what the tactical significance of those assassinations are or why that would be necessary. I am not in any type of role to really understand what they're facing or what's going on. I personally would not vote for anybody to be assassinated. The more bloodless they can do this, if they could do it in a peaceful way, that would be ideal. And maybe there will still be some sort of divine intervention where events will take place in a certain way where it doesn't have to be bloody. I certainly hope that's what's going to happen. But we could actually see 2 or 3 weeks here in America where you're going to have exactly the same type of crazy headlines that were going on during the Boston bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember watching the internet on the Boston bombing, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. And every big news website, it was all big, bold, red letters, you know? So there's going to be a lot of that for a while.
Is it, when you talk about, well, I have two questions. One, when you talk about the all of the gold being under the water, is that in a literal sense, or are you...
Okay, that is true. I kind of blew off that part of his question. I apologize for
that. No, that's okay. That's okay.
That other information was very important to get out in some sort of public forum like this, where it can't be redacted or changed.
Right.
So anyway, as far as the gold goes, this is a vast subject. I did write an entire book on it. It's had 1.5 million unique views. It's called Financial Tyranny. You can find it on my website, divinecosmos.com. And the Russians picked up my book and turned it into 2 3-hour primetime television documentaries that were on Ren TV, which is one of their top networks. And the viewership was estimated 24 million people.
Wow.
And my face was in the documentary all over the place. And we have versions of that on my website that you can watch with English subtitles. Okay, so that being said, here's the story. The cabal has been planning to try to dominate the planet for many, many hundreds of years. If you really want to understand what the cabal is, it goes all the way back to Babylonian money magic. And the idea of using a financial system to create a disparity between rich and poor so that a small group of isolated power elites can control who lives and who dies, who eats and who starves. They've been playing this game by becoming the people who are in power, never through actually being the elected leaders themselves. They almost never do that. Those are never more than mid-level people. The top people are not elected. The top people are the ones that run the money system.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not anti-Semitic. This has nothing to do with the Jews. And that's one of the things people start saying is, oh, he's anti-Semitic. He says it's the bankers, okay? When I say bankers, I'm saying every race, every religion. Has nothing to do with anything Jewish.
Okay.
Okay, that's very important. Now, there may be some Jews who are bankers, yes. There's also Arabs. There's also Buddhists and Hindus and everybody you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So, the real issue that's going on here is the cabal, is essentially a Roman Empire that transplanted itself to Great Britain beginning around 100 AD, took about 100 years. They migrated there. There's still a city in England called Bath that has the original Roman baths from 100 to 200 AD. You can still go in them now. Okay, so why did they pick Britain? Because it's the only large island that they could use as a base of operations to try to take over Europe, which at the time was the only really civilized area of the planet worth conquering. So this has been an ongoing battle. There have been different factions. There was a major battle at certain points between England and Spain. Spain actually at one point had taken over the Vatican, and there has been now a business agreement made, or there was, between essentially the financial cabal, which was centered in Britain, the religious cabal, which was centered in the Vatican, and then the military wing, which was centered in the United States. And it's interesting that there's only 3 city-states within nations in the world. There's the city of London in England, which is the financial center of the cabal. There's Vatican City in Italy, which is the spiritual center of the cabal. And then there's Washington, D.C., which is the military center of the cabal.
Interesting.
So what's happened is that this group got together and created the most incredibly vast systematic plan to plunder the world's wealth that's ever been contrived, and that was World War One and World War Two. What they did is they used these invasions of countries as a cover. The war was bloody. Yes, that's true. Everybody talks about how Prescott Bush, George Bush Sr.'s father, was Hitler's banker. What you may not realize is that Prescott's father, Samuel Bush, was the owner of the Remington Gun Company, which sold over 90% of all the guns to both sides of World War One. Think about that. So you can make money on selling the weapons, but that wasn't the main issue. The main issue was create these wars. And the real thing is that when you get into the country as a military invasion, invade their central bank and take their gold. And what happened is very secretly throughout the early 20th century, and especially in the 1930s, and a lot of it was done by Japan, which at the time was totally fascist and working with the Nazis. Remember, Japan was part of the Axis. They bombed us in Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Okay. They went through all of Southeast Asia and China and robbed everybody's gold. Nobody ever did it on such an industrial scale as Japan. They did horrible atrocities, including something called the Rape of Nanking in China, which is one of the greatest mass atrocities in human history.
That's right.
Okay, so what happened is they took everybody's gold, they hid it away in bunkers, which were originally supposed to be transplanted to the U.S., but then the patriotic American military that didn't know about this actually cut their supply lines with submarines and prevented them from being able to ship the gold over here. So the only step left they could do is to bury it in bunkers throughout Southeast Asia, of which there's well over 100. And these bunkers have a vastly higher amount of gold stored in them than what is officially on the books. The official amount of gold on the books is about one Olympic swimming pool size. It's 130,000 metric tons.
Okay.
The actual amount is supposedly about 14.5 times greater than that.
Whoa. It's never been found. That gold is not an ounce of it has surfaced.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Okay.
I have one insider who worked for Reagan. In fact, Reagan's code name for him was Mr. Do.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, one ounce has ever been found. Let's make that clear.
Well, but I mean, it's all documented. There are people who've written about this before. There are books before Financial Tyranny that I draw from that talk about this, and it's all actually quite well documented. And I have insiders who have been inside these bunkers, and the insider who, as I said, was called Mr. Do by Ronald Reagan, because he was the inventor guy. He invented anything they needed, that was classified, solved all kinds of engineering problems. He walked in one of these bunkers, and imagine now you're going down a hall that's a mile and a half long. And as you walk down the hall, there are doorways on either side every maybe 100 feet. And each time you look into one of these doorways, what you're seeing is a room that is the size of a basketball court piled to the ceiling with gold bullion bars. And you walk down that hallway for a mile and a half, and every room that you see is packed to the ceiling with gold. That's what happened. That's what's going on. So much of this gold was held in private collections because one of the big secrets is gold is actually not scarce. However, it turns out that the place where gold is most plentiful is a vein that runs through Cambodia and Laos, Southeast Asia. There are gold mines that are so huge that you could literally just drive a bulldozer in there and bulldoze out gold boulders.
Okay. Oh, man.
And that hasn't been told to us. And that same vein actually ultimately runs down into Australia. And that's been kept secret as well. Plus, in the space program, there are asteroids they could go out and mine that are absolutely solid gold. So we do not have a gold scarcity. A lot of that gold that I said you could bulldoze out boulders worth of it, a lot of that has been mined, smelted, refined, and turned into, actual gold bars. And it was held in some very vast private collections. And the main group that was doing this is called the Dragon Family. And it is actually ultimately a group of humans that immigrated here and were not natively born on Earth. And one of the oddities about this group is that they have their genome is such that they have a lifespan of between 200 to 300 years for an average person. They are Asians. They are Asian looking, and they are living in exile. They're very secretive. And there's a whole lot of story we could talk about with them when they got here. They formed China. They're the Qing dynasty, the original dragon emperors. They built about 135 pyramids in the Qing province of China, and the pyramids are still there. And interestingly, the pyramids still have a piping system that allows water to be piped into the tops of each of these pyramids. And what they would do is park their ships, which were called fiery metallic dragons. They weren't really dragons, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They'd park the ships on top of these pyramids, and it's like a trailer park. You hook up the water hitch, and you can just, you know, live in your ship for years at a time. Now, they do still have some of their ships here, and they do also have a portal technology, and you can't go through the portal unless you're invited, but there have been ongoing portal contacts with the rest of the dragon family people that are not on Earth. And I probably shouldn't even have said that, but I guess I just did.
So. Well, I think one of the misconceptions, including with myself, is, you know, all of the ET contact and agreements and everything are exclusively here to the United States, and they are not, are they?
No. Okay, ETs, bottom line, most of them, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are human. We have been severely, severely misled. We hear words all the time like aliens and creatures, and we take it for granted that we're dealing with something fundamentally inhuman. Nothing could be further than the truth. What we're actually dealing with is that the universe itself is sentient, the galaxy is programmed to create biological life, and that biological life will be hominid in our galaxy. It will have a head. It will have eyes, nose, mouth. There's very few that don't. It will have two arms, two legs, you know, opposable thumbs, all that kind of stuff. I do have one insider who has personally handled over 2,000 different types of extraterrestrial bodies. And his job was basically just to autopsy them and try to identify organ systems. So I have a lot of different descriptions of what different types of ETs look like, and I can tell you that probably the most divergent one that he ever saw was kind of like a jellyfish hominid, and it basically had no real discernible facial features. The body looked like clear gel, except for a spot in the head and a spot in the middle of the chest. And when he autopsied it, he wasn't able to identify anything resembling an organ system. It was all just gel. But most of the beings that are out there are human-like or actually human-looking. And in fact, we have been visited by multiple human groups, and they all have tinkered with our DNA. We are like a genetics wonderland. Our DNA has been spliced and re-spliced and tinkered with so many different races. There's actually 40 different extraterrestrial groups, most of whom are human or human-like, and some of which look just like people on Earth. There's one group that looks exactly like the Maoris from New Zealand, for example. There's a couple other groups that look just like Asians on Earth. I now have found out there is a group that looks like black people. They look like the Zulu tribe, actually, that type of a physique, except that they're really tall and really skinny. So all the different types of people that are on Earth have extraterrestrial families. All the different races that we have here on Earth have extraterrestrial families. And on a secret level, all these different groups, there's about 40 of them all together, have all presented to us, and meaning our secret government, genetic evidence, physical evidence, holographic evidence on these little iPads that they have that they show us movies on, that they are the guys that made us.
How do we tell?
They can't all be right.
Yeah. How do we know when one is standing next to us? Are we able to tell the difference? Is there something that sticks out?
In some cases, it would be absolutely impossible not to know that you're in front of something very, very unusual. Some of these people, there are micro ETs that are literally no bigger than about a centimeter to an inch in height. There are some, in fact, my guy that handled 2000, the largest one that he ever saw was about 45 feet tall and looked like it was made out of rocks. But the average groups that we see, we're actually a little bit taller than average. The overall average, if you really wanted to standardize it, of height is about waist high for us, or maybe a little bit taller. There are obviously other groups that are taller than us, some of which are significantly taller. There's a range of like 12 to 13 feet is fairly common. There's a range of about 8 to 9 feet is fairly common. But we're actually among the taller groups. Now, most of them do look predominantly human, but you're going to have some discrepancies. You're going to have, for example, all different types of skin color. And by that, I mean every type of color in the rainbow spectrum, if you then take it and turn it into a pastel. So you have people with pastel blue skin, pastel pink, pastel yellow, pastel green, pastel orange. So that's very common. A lot of them do have eyes that look larger than ours, so that would be one giveaway.
Right.
A lot of them are hairless, but actually a lot of them do have hair. It is common for them to have a larger head than we do as they get more advanced. The elongated skull is fairly common. The gray type is actually not that common, and those are typically more along the lines of an android, like a genetically grown drone. It's like they call them programmable life forms. So grays, that type does not usually evolve naturally. They're genetic experiments, basically.
They don't have a soul or a conscience. They're just a machine.
It's sort of like an advanced biological robot, yeah.
Yeah, right.
They can
right.
be programmed to perform certain tasks. I mean, they are sentient, but they're not, they would not have a typical type of soul evolution like we would think of.
Let me ask you this. When we're talking about the war that's going on and we're the tools, so to speak, is it some, can you equate it to, is there, a good race of ET that is maybe controlling a country like the United States, and they're pitting us against a China, so to speak? Or is it more inside, where the infighting is on both sides of the Obama administration pulling back and forth? You know, is it?
There are. It's a very good question. There are multiple ET groups, and it's not like the Lone Ranger, where, okay, he wears the white mask, he's the good guy, and the other guy wears the black costume, and he's the bad guy. Okay.
I got you.
I mean, basically what we're dealing with is different groups with different agendas, some of which are more positive than others. And there are also positive beings that are multidimensional that largely stay out of the way. And most of these ETs that I've been talking to you about and describing are not even aware that these higher dimensional beings exist. The higher dimensional beings are working sort of in a very interesting veiled fashion that is not obvious to most of the ET groups that would look human.
Right.
But within the ET groups that look human, they have competing agendas, competing needs, and even within these societies, of course, you're going to have certain people who are divergent characters. So you'll have like your criminals, and you'll have your murderers, and you'll have your crooks who are going to go and try to steal something. So you can't just say that, like, oh, well, these are the blue aliens, and the blue aliens are the good guys, and the red aliens are the bad guys. It doesn't work like that. It's a very vast, complex sociological problem to solve. But what I can say is that there are alliances with different factions of ETs working with different factions on Earth, and the good guys are winning now by a significant degree. And it is building up to something that's going to be like a political, geopolitical, worldwide moment of truth. And we're probably not going to get disclosure immediately when this happens, but it probably won't take very long once it does.
And let me ask you this. Are there any heads of state that are actual ETs and not human? For instance, Dick Cheney, ET or human?
Okay, well.
And I'm being serious. Don't laugh. I can look at Obama. Okay. I can look at Obama and say alien pretty freely. But
well, I would use the term extraterrestrial because alien is like the N word. Once you talk to these people, they don't like that word at all.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Because they're families, right?
Mothers
and children.
Sure.
Perfectly good people if you talk to them.
Right. Right. So Dick Cheney. E.T. is there any, string pullers that are actual E.T.s?
Well, if I were to answer that question to the fullest extent of my knowledge, and then this all became public and disclosure, that could actually come back to haunt me and bite me in the ass.
Well, but you not answering is going to do...
Okay, I will say truthfully... As far as I know, no visible elected leaders who are heads of state are extraterrestrial humans. That being said, my knowledge is there's about 10,000 to 18,000 of them on Earth at any one time, and I do have some information that suggests that some people who work in the governments are, in fact, extraterrestrial humans. But they are not reptilians, and they are not shapeshifters. Nobody's biology can do that. The only type of shapeshifter that exists that I've ever been aware of from all the different people I've spoken to is AI. There are certain types of AI that are based on nanites, which are tiny little robots that can assemble into any shape they want. The United States did have a huge problem with the nanites, which they solved in the 1970s. There was a time where nanite humanoids were actually going into the White House and were pooling down into carpets and things like that. And they put some very advanced technology inside the White House that basically prevents the nanites from being able to do their little mechanical, electromechanical handshake that allows them to build into structures. It's essentially like a force field that keeps them from being able to get in. And so we've predominantly dealt with the AI problem. Most of the AI, in fact, as far as I know, all the AI has been essentially shooed away from the Earth for now. So there is no such thing as a biological shape-shifting organism. And that is unfortunately a very grotesque distortion of truth that's been promulgated by many people out there who really don't know anything. And I'm not saying that they are bad people. They just got bad information.
Have you ever picked up the phone and talked to David Icke about this directly?
You had to mention the name.
I had to go there.
You know, I think David Icke is a hero. I think he's done amazing work.
I do too. I absolutely.
He has said some disparaging stuff about me online, but this field, as you know, Jimmy, is similar to rap music, and everybody's wanting to bust a rhyme about how they're the greatest, you know?
Well, I hear you there. I respect David Icke. He's been not only a guest on this program, but I think the one thing about him is... that I think people misconstrue a little bit is he speaks loudly and with conviction. And that gets confused with him being a bad guy. He's got a great soul. And he believes in his message, and he's very passionate about it.
What a marvelous guided course, right? Where he, first of all, starts out as a major sports hero
in the
UK. Then he becomes a major... newscaster,
broadcaster,
anchor, you know.
Yep.
And then he gets awakened to the truth and starts to disclose very real information. So he has been an indispensable part of our collective awakening.
No doubt.
And you know, I just wish that he was a little more focused on seeing people as all children of one infinite creator and not trying to paint people as shape-shifting subhumans.
Have you ever seen I'm sure you have. You've seen the video of one of Obama's Secret Service guys doing the shape-shifting. Have you seen that video?
That's a hoax.
It's a great video, though, man.
You have to understand that there's a lot of people who make money off of doing this stuff, and they're probably paid better than any of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I even got like the 10% credit of the amount of jobs that I've created just myself, I'd be far, far better off than I am.
You can get another Martin D-45. That was between you and I. Nobody else got it, but you get it. This question is from Renee, one of our producers here. She says, have the larger number of good ETs...